This English version of the podcast was created using AI-based voice synthesis from the original German recording.
Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Welcome to Business Shift, the podcast that changes perspectives and explores the question of how to make more out of business, namely sustainable and future-proof. I'm Tobias Kirchhoff, your host from TÜV Rheinland. By my side today, I once again welcome our sustainability expert from TÜV Rheinland, Dr. Bahar Chad Krauser. Welcome, Bahar. Nice to have you here.
Hi, Tobias. I'm looking forward to our podcast today.
Today we are dealing with a topic that we see every day in everyday life, namely false promises. 100% natural, climate neutral refueling, we are forest positive, green cruising, our Exocent for plastic bags protects the environment, our cars are low in pollutants and clean. We all know these misleading, incomplete and very vague statements. Bahar and I would like to talk about how far manufacturers can mislead consumers with impunity with a lawyer who does not make false promises to us, but who speaks plainly in court. Today, we are speaking with the multiple award-winning lawyer and sought-after speaker on the subject of sustainability and corporate responsibility, Dr. Christoph Schork from the partnership Heuking Kühn Lühr Voigtec. Welcome, Christoph.
Hello, Tobias. I'm glad I'm here.
Thank you very much for being back. In our last podcast, we talked to you about laws, regulations, and then we also touched on the topic of greenwashing, that there are laws. Maybe we'll get to that later. And today, this is our topic, greenwashing. And naturally, the question arises directly, what is greenwashing from a legal perspective?
Yes, you can tell from the term that there are two English words in it, green and washing. And I think that's actually quite good for the description. So you could also say that someone puts on such a green coat, he tries to clear himself perhaps. Yes, greenwashing. These are a bit of the associations you have with the term, and that's not so far-fetched. In the end, it's about the fact that many companies like it and consumers too, if the products are sustainable, if they are environmentally friendly. And the companies then do this quite consciously. For example, by using the green colors or simply writing on it, my product is climate neutral, environmentally conscious, ecological. There are a wide variety of variations. And all these terms have a bit of their own that they can be interpreted in such and such a way. It is not so clear what is behind it.
Do you have an example, a very concrete example, to illustrate this?
So I think the most catchy example, and this has already gone up and down through the courts, is actually exactly the word climate neutral. Climate neutral actually means that, by the way, unlike CO2 neutral, it refers to all greenhouse gases and can now ambiguously, and this is our point now, mean that I have compensated for it. I invested in a reforestation project, I bought certificates, whatever. So I didn't actually change anything in my manufacturing process of my product, but I compensated for it afterwards. But of course, it can also mean that I have already taken measures in my manufacturing process to ensure that the CO2 emissions, the greenhouse gases, do not occur at all. So, if we now put on the glasses of the consumer who is now standing on the shelf and there is the shampoo bottle or whatever and it says climate neutral, then he doesn't think so hard. Is this now a compensation or was it possibly actually a reduction? But he just thinks it's cool that it says on it, and maybe that's why he decides on this product. And if he knew, he might be disappointed. Because in this case, it is only compensated for instead of actually reducing it.
You just said that there are already judgments, there are already cases. Come on, tell us about a case.
I'll take a case that I think is a bit plastic. By the way, there is not just one. Of course, this is the airline industry, which has also advertised from time to time. So there was an airline that said, well, with us, you will fly CO2 neutral to the Biennale. The Biennale is an art show. This offer was therefore primarily aimed at art lovers and was intended to encourage them to fly there in a CO2 neutral way. And then they wrote about it. So 100% SAF. I don't know if you know that. This is an aviation fuel that has been produced in a climate neutral way. So, and this case ended up in the courts. In this case, these were not German courts, but that doesn't matter. And it turned out that the airline actually added only 5% of this SAF to the specific flight to Venice.
But that's not right, is it?
Yes. Well, they have already done something. They compensated for the other 95% with certificates, environmental projects, whatever. But they just didn't disclose that only 5% are in it and 95% are compensated. And that was the problem. That's why they were attacked there. And there you will find many other examples that are always in this area of tension. Compensation rather than reduction and not really putting your money where your mouth is. Actually, they should write on it. If we write climate neutral here, then it just means it's offset or it's reduced, and that's just not the case. This is this deception where the consumer then makes a decision because he has a different idea. That's what it's all about.
Yes, and you can see here I once brought a few products with me, randomly from our household. Here muesli is also climate neutral on it. Here baby food, climate positive. Here also on the mineral water, climate neutral, even certified. As you just said, yes, that associates with the consumer. When I buy that, I buy a product with which I also strengthen the environment. And that is apparently not the case at all.
Yes, so the labels, I'll say now, product names in the form of such statements are supposed to bring about a certain purchase decision. Christoph, you just said it. When I'm now a consumer in the supermarket and have so many labels on the products, I usually don't have the time to look up what that actually means, but make a decision at relatively short notice. I say this so decisively because we find it again and again that there are so many labels that are simply difficult to grasp at the moment of shopping. If I shop online now, I might have a little more time. I can inquire a bit. But I'll say now, at the point of sale in the supermarket, I'll take this. And then it says climate neutral on it. And I think to myself, great product. I'll take it with me. This goes in a direction where I suggest to consumers that they are buying a more sustainable product compared to another product that does not have this label. And I think that's exactly the point, to present this real transparency, to say, okay, it might be climate neutral, but why? Because I have offset it, or because my strategy is really to bring my greenhouse gas emissions for this product to net zero, they say, i.e. really to net zero offset, and that through improvement and optimization measures.
Did that then continue with the airline, the topic of climate neutrality? Christoph, can you maybe explain it again?
Yes, so one more point on what Bahar said. It is also inadmissible and always has been. This deception of the consumer, which is taking place here, has always been inadmissible under the so-called UWG, which is the German Act Against Unfair Competition. This is no peccadillo. Writing climate neutral on your bottle is not forbidden, but the intended consequences are inadmissible. I can defend myself against that. Consumer associations also do that. I also brought something with me. Yes, not only you. This is a disdainful piece of plastic, and that's what I found in my wardrobe this morning.
But what does it say on it?
Yes, watch out. It says climate neutral packaging. And then there is a link to a page where I can look and a QR code. We have to tell you right away what this packaging is. This is actually the packaging with which my shirts, which I got during the dry cleaners, are always packaged like this. Everyone probably knows that they don't get wet or dirty when I've just picked them up. And by the way, this packaging no longer only has this imprint, and of course it is supposed to suggest. Yes, I think to myself every time I go to the dry cleaners, man, now she's made another packaging over it. Yes, what kind of environmental pig am I? And then I might see these wonderful imprints as a consumer, it's climate neutral packaging, and my blood pressure goes down. That's how it works in practice. And now we have to ask ourselves whether this is still permissible or not. So again, it says climate neutral on it, a link to a page and a QR code.
So I'll scan it now.
You scan it, exactly. Then let's take a look.
So I am now directed to a page, and there I see 2.7 tons of CO2 compensated. That's good. I already have at least some information. And then I see that this compensation has been carried out with projects in Asia, climate protection projects, marine conservation projects.
Well, there is obviously not only this is really a transparent, beautiful packaging with this imprint. There's something behind it. We can see that there seems to be compensation somewhere. But I've just explained it. I didn't really want to have the packaging around it because I don't want to present myself as an environmental pig. But I actually want no CO2 to be produced at all by the production of this packaging. And exactly these cases, as you said earlier, actually went the same way before the courts. There was a case where at first it only said climate neutral. Then at some point it was greenwashing, it was decided. Then in the second step, they pressed this link on it, so to speak, to make it clear that there was compensation behind it. And then the court also said that is still not enough. Is still misleading. And then at some point they started to put this code on it. So now you can scan and see what it is. So, and there is now the latest development. There was the Higher Regional Court of Düsseldorf. They said, that's enough for us. If the code is on it, anyone can look it up. But now the very last thing, which was now in June of this year, The BGH has now virtually closed the barrel. The BGH, the Federal Court of Justice, is the last instance to decide this. And they have now actually said that this is not enough either. This is the so-called Kachis ruling. And in this Kachis ruling, the BGH says, so the code is not enough, but the term is clearly ambiguous. And if you really use it, you also have to make it clear what you have done. Yes, and just printing a QR code on it is still misleading. So you would have to do more.
Why is it called Kachis ruling? Is there a large confectionery manufacturer?
Exactly. So they actually have, it has to be said, they didn't print it on their packaging, but they advertised in a newspaper that their products were climate neutral. And then just like we just had it on our plastic, they also have a QR code printed next to it. And that was then attacked by the consumer protection authorities and has now finally decided that this path is no longer possible.
So you really have to make it clear, is it compensation or is it actually reduction?
Yes, it's no longer enough to just print a QR code on it.
So much for the reality now, but what is the legislator doing about it? In which direction can you go to help the consumer? So that not just anybody, that's similar with organic labels, that I have to deal with climate neutrality, etc. Plaster everything to counteract this?
Well, I had already hinted at it a bit earlier, the regulation has always existed. So there are norms that regulate this, and the case law has interpreted this norm, and now this Kachis ruling is ultimately binding. The journey is now going a little further. Now the EU comes into play again, which of course also deals with the issue. There is a directive that is also in force, and I don't want to name every detail, so to speak, but she has also dealt with the term climate neutral. And in principle, if you break it down according to this guideline, it is now said that I can actually no longer use climate neutral with compensation, but only reduction. That is the core message. That means that if I use climate neutral now, I have to prove it, write it on my product. So I have to make it clear what I'm doing. And actually, the ultimate consequence is climate neutral and offsetting, that's over. I'm simplifying this a bit now because it's very complex, but climate neutral is over. And what else there is, there will be a blacklist where there are certain terms in it that you are no longer allowed to use if you don't prove it.
But how do I, as a company, deal with it now, Baha? Let's assume that I really do something, yes, that I reduce emissions, that I improve my production. Then I have to be a little careful as a company to go into communication because I have to be afraid that I will also get into this greenwashing that I am so carried away a bit, so to speak. How do companies deal with this? How do you see it in practice? What do you experience there?
That's a really fine line. So communication is, I'll always say, a bit of the freestyle in sustainability, because if you really have customer contact, communicate with consumers, then of course you have to really clearly explain why this product or your product is more sustainable than that of the competitors, maybe like that, and in a very transparent way. And Christoph, you just mentioned it. There is legislation. There are green claims, for example. There is EMCO. We can perhaps come back to what the difference is in a moment. But that's exactly where these topics are dealt with and really pointed out, or the requirements are set, that definitions such as climate neutrality or less CO2 are really scientifically proven and are also tested. Also by external bodies, for example, when it comes to labeling products. If you now do B2B communication with your business partners, then of course you have other options. You don't have to communicate on point then, but can go a little further. You can say, I've done studies, I have targets, I have measures to get closer to my net zero goal. Here too, I can only say that open communication is the most important thing, and not always to present yourself as more positive than you might be.
So the statement, hey, we're on the way, we're getting better, that also creates a certain closeness to reality, and then also shows that I may be getting better in relative terms, which is very, very important in the first step. You just mentioned it, green claims. Christoph, perhaps you could briefly explain again, what is this topic of green claims, and also illustrate where we currently stand in that area?
Well, green claims are basically what we're talking about, that I somehow assign a term to my product and try to advertise with it. That's actually a bit flat, what we're talking about. These are green claims. What Baha said is completely correct. The point is that you can continue to use them, but you now have a much narrower line through which you have to muddle through. You are just not allowed to do certain things anymore. Yes, otherwise you will definitely get a beating. By the way, not only the consumer, the competitor looks at it the same way. Well, if the competitor would find such a plastic bag here, which is still hanging in my glider cabinet now, I actually picked them up last week. So it hasn't been hanging in there for years, but is apparently still in use. Then the competitor could also say, wait a minute, that's no longer possible. I have read the BGH Katya's ruling carefully. So a QR code, that's no longer state of the art. That means I have to do a lot more. My green claim that I'm making there, for it to be climate neutral, I would now have to write exactly how I saved CO2 in my production process of this plastic, this piece of plastic. And that's where it gets a little less exciting, of course, because if I have to make big explanations on it, someone standing in the supermarket won't read through everything anymore. It's all about the quick click. I see that, great, I buy it because it's climate neutral. And with that, the air is a bit out of the number. And I think that's what it's all about, that it's depicted cleanly and that people aren't deceived.
Yes. And if we now think in terms of companies again, or what do you recommend to companies? How they can communicate adequately, let's say, that they say, I'm doing good and I'm talking about it accordingly.
I think you have to know these topics and know exactly where the degree is, and that in communication, in the marketing department, you have to be aware of it. They have to be able to deal with it. I even think that it's probably not just the marketing department. It's in every area of the company. So it also starts in production. Anyone who does this today with their eyes open, so to speak, will at some point have the warning in their mailbox, either from the competitor or from Deutsche Umwelthilfe, or can also be consumers who may also have claims that make their money. It then says, so please refrain from doing so because violates the UWG. And I don't think anyone wants that. So think about it. You have your 20,000 bottles in the supermarkets. That would mean you can now stomp them all, pick them up and stomp them all. And then you can think about the fact that you might take a look at what you print on it in the future in the communications or marketing department.
Yes, we always talk about the product now. There are also different communication channels. And that's actually what I always like to go through with my customers to say, okay, what do I actually want to communicate where? And if I now have, for example, a website where I can perhaps link to, where I can simply present things in a completely different way, then I also have many more opportunities to say, okay, what is actually my goal? Where do I want to go? What measures do I actually have? Where do I stand in the goal achievement, etc.? Of course, you have incredibly little space on such a product. But you also have to say, of course, labels should provide orientation. But I don't know about you, but in my environment, I know very, very many who really inform themselves. There are friends, family members who no longer eat cookies because there is palm oil in them. And that's not always on the product. So they also inform themselves. So I also believe, and that's why I say, that if the communication channel is so important, we must not underestimate ourselves as customers. So I'm too, well, now I'm getting a bit out of the topic, but also my nieces, for example, they take a close look at what kind of fire it is, what do they do, what materials do they use, or is there palm oil, sugar, etc. inside. I didn't do that before. Very important. And not always just, I'll say now, you can't always put the activities on just one label.
And you also correctly mentioned that it's not just about products, it's also sometimes about corporate communications. Yes, if you publish any reports or write something good about the company, then you have to be very careful not to greenwash. The example now again with the topic of climate neutrality. If I were to write now, my company is climate neutral in 2050, without writing anything further about it, it would also be forbidden under this EMCO directive in the future. You could say that the noose is tightening further and further. I just have to do more and be a little more precise. And these dead weight effects, I print something on it so that your nieces are reassured and then somehow read and say, great, it's climate neutral, I'll buy it. That just doesn't work anymore. And to be honest, it's a good thing. The consumer shouldn't be fooled.
With that, you have already anticipated my final word, so to speak. We discussed greenwashing in detail today. I think these were very nice, very striking examples. Also, that it is becoming more and more difficult to greenwash, because the legislator is now not only closing the loopholes, but also simply applying the law. And if companies simply provide authentic information in the field of sustainability via websites, including QR codes, I can communicate very clearly what I am doing, where I am on the road, and where I may not even be on the road yet. That, too, is part of authentic communication. Dear Bahar, dear Christoph, thank you for these very interesting insights, which are really relevant every day for both companies and US consumers. And to our listeners out there, a big thank you for sticking with it. I'm sure you'll take a closer look at the packaging and what's in it, and above all, what's on it and what the QR code reveals the next time you go shopping. And you'll also make the right choice about which products to take home with you. My name is Tobias Kirchhoff, and I hope you never fall into the greenwashing trap again from today on, neither as a company nor as a consumer. And if you, dear listeners, want to learn more about sustainability in business, just stay tuned. Subscribe to our podcast, and we will bring you the most interesting tips and stories on the topic of sustainability in business, innovation, and transformation in a resource-efficient way directly into your ear canal. You can receive us wherever podcasts are available and wherever you are. In the home office, in the bathroom, ironing, walking the dog, in nature, with Child, Dog and Cone. And as always, you can find all information and tips in the show notes. And don't forget, change and sustainability starts with us. So until next time, your
Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Stay curious.
Bye-bye.